The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. John went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the paths of the Lord. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. In the before times, before our cars were linked to satellites circling the planet, and before we had maps on our phones, and even before one could print out detailed directions on paper and follow them from Boston to anywhere you wanted to go, sometimes the way to someone's house went something like this. "Listen, it's easy. Just go down the main road of town until you get to the post office, then hang a left and drive to where the Nelson farm used to be. Do you remember the Nelsons? Oh, maybe they left before you came. Anyway, then go past there and take a sharp right turn down the dirt road until you get to the tree that was snapped off in the storm of 87. Remember that storm? Oh, never mind. And then, just when you think you've gone too far, look to the left. You'll see our driveway. We'll leave the light on for you." Now, when I was a country pastor in Illinois, I took journeys just like this to visit church members all the time. And sometimes the way was a bit treacherous. There might have been snow or mud or tractors or wayward cows standing in the middle of the road, refusing to move. There might be roads that were closed, or maybe my church member would have forgotten to tell me an important detail, like that their house actually was the 14th house past that point. Anyway, traveling that way, in this way, required a level of trust. And there never was a comforting voice from the car saying, "Rerouting. Rerouting, rerouting." Instead, there was just a path before me, the directions my parishioner had given me, and hope and trust that I would be able to recognize that driveway and that there would be a light left on for me. Now, on this second Sunday of Advent, as John the Baptist proclaims, "Prepare the way of the Lord," what I hear across the many years and miles is a reminder from the prophet to trust that someone is coming. Someone is looking for the driveway. Someone is watching for a light in the window. I hear an invitation for us to trust that the Lord is near. Nearer now than when we first believed. And are we ready? Let's make sure that we're awake, that the coffee is on, and the fire is roaring. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, of course, being the Son of God, I'm sure that Jesus has a fully updated global positioning system and actually does know the way to where we are right now, to where you are at any time. "Lo, I am with you always," says the Lord. Even so, it's a good act of hospitality, isn't it, to be sure that there are no potholes or tractors or wayward cows along the way. It is right and good as John said, to prepare the way of the Lord. After all, we want to be sure that love, our guest, finds the way to us without too much trouble. Prepare the way of the Lord, says John. Make the path straight. And how are we to do that? One way we are doing that here at Unilu in this community is by caring for this building that we have been given. For approximately 117 years, this community has been thinking about what to do with this building next. For years before I arrived to serve as pastor, leaders of this community and community leaders have been considering important questions. How can we, together, and in particular in this place, how can we raise the valleys and lower the mountains and smooth the way for students, for the families, for the unhoused, for the neighbors in whom we encounter Christ himself? To be clear, renovating a building, this building, a church building, is not about keeping the lights on for the sake of keeping the lights on. But rather, anything we shall do next is about placing a light in the window so that all people, all flesh, as John puts it, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. We want to prepare the way so that all may know that when they've arrived here, when they've arrived at this church, they've found a home with us and with the risen Lord. Today, after this worship service, we will have the opportunity to encounter a vision of what that might look like. And I'm grateful that our architects, Andrew and Cindy, are here. Raise your hands. Yay, welcome. As we light two candles today for the coming of the Lord, we're halfway through the Advent season. It seems like such a perfect and lovely time for us to have a vision of how and with whom and in whom Christ may arrive next to this place, this particular place in Harvard Square. Amen? Please stay. There's going to be good lunch. Back to Scripture. In the text we heard today from the Gospel according to Luke, it is written, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." So what we hear is that John is in the wilderness, and he is crying out these words, quoting the prophet Isaiah, saying, "Hey, you guys, prepare the way of the Lord." But there are some who question the placement of the punctuation in this verse, partly because this was a verse written in Hebrew that was probably spoken in Aramaic and then was written down in Greek and then translated into English in many different ways. So we have reason to question the punctuation. So consider this. What if one of the translations is the voice of one crying out, comma, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. So John was in the wilderness. He was speaking out of the wilderness, but maybe we also are in the wilderness today. If you have ever questioned whether punctuation matters, now you have proof. Amen?
Amen.
The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, or the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. I have to say, at this time and place in our country, in the world, it feels as though we are preparing the way of the Lord in the wilderness. Speaking out for the unhoused in a city where housing is nearly impossible to afford, educating ourselves to be anti-racist in a time when elected leaders can spew racist views with abandon, opening our doors to people of all gender identities and expressions in a time when many feel unsafe just to be themselves. Doing these things, being this kind of people, feels like we're in the wilderness, It feels insignificant. It feels like our voices are mere whispers spoken into a vast wilderness of, at best, apathy. And yet we hear from John, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. In the city, prepare the way of the Lord. In Harvard Square, prepare the way of the Lord. In your hearts, prepare the way of the Lord. It might feel that we are insignificant, but preparing the way, being that voice, crying out the good news does matter. It does matter to people when we can address the valleys and mountains that stand in the way of justice. It matters when we can smooth the path toward life abundant, even for one person. I recently spoke to a young person who said they were having a hard time praying. They were having a hard time praying because they were afraid of what God might say. They were afraid to pray because the messages they had received from the churches of their childhood was that as a queer person, they were unwanted, imperfect, and in need of repentance and forgiveness. They were afraid to pray because they thought that God might say to them the same thing they had heard from their churches. The light of hope in God and trust in God had gone out of their heart, not because Jesus doesn't love them, but because the church made absolutely certain that they knew that the church didn't love them. So when I think about what it means to prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness today, I think of that beloved child of God. I think of all the beloved children of God who are just trying to find their way, looking for the light that's been left on in the window, a sign that they belong, a sign that someone has been waiting up for them, just for them. I think of each of us and how at different points in our lives we may have been looking for that exact same light. So, dear ones, as we continue through this Advent season, I hope you hear that God is inviting us into a time of mutual trust. I believe that God is trusting us, trusting that we are in fact preparing the way for the reign of God in this world. And we are trusting that Jesus is in fact on the way. We are trusting that change is coming and that the reign of Christ will be real for us. We can put our trust in God. Amen? We can trust in the one who overcame death and the grave and who has never left us abandoned. And for this reason, we light candles and we pray and we do the work of building a peaceful and just world. And above all, we seek to keep our hearts open to receive him, to receive Jesus, the Son of God, our brother, the light of the world, the hope of our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. In spite of everything, even in the wilderness, we've kept the light on for you. And now let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.